Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
May her powerful intercession bring you a happy and prosperous new year.
Karma Yoga really is about always striving in everything that you do every day to be of service to others. And it has now brought me to this place here to do it as a member of Congress.
Holy Spirit, will you come down and hover over this dome and over the city and over our lives. Come and descend on us with the cloud of the very presence and glory of God.
Louis Giglio has made a concerted effort to include and feature on the stage at Passion 2013 some people who are theologically dubious at best.
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
If you buy into the conventional wisdom of Pop American Christianity, this should never happen. Pop American Christianity has secretly, I don't even know if many of the proponents of Pop American Christianity know this, secretly benefited from the attrition from the Roman Catholic Church for decades, for a long, long time, that so much so that 1 in 10 people in the United States is a former Roman Catholic. But, and here's what should never happen, but sometimes does, sometimes the path goes the opposite direction. Sometimes people leave Pop American Christianity and evangelicalism and go, as the Roman Catholic friends would say, home to Rome. What is the appeal? Why does it happen? And in particular, what's the demographic of the people who make this shift back from American Christianity to Roman Catholicism? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Adrian Dorr joins us here in the first half hour. We'll be talking about the appeal of Roman Catholicism a little bit later. A pastoral perspective on almost 40 years of legalized abortion in the United States. Dr. Peter Scare will be our guest. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse kicks off the second hour for us. We'll talk about a sperm donor who's being ordered to give child support to a lesbian couple, even though he signed away parental rights and responsibilities in that little transaction. And then Pastor Tom Baker joins us for a Sunday school lesson. We'll be talking about the baptism of Jesus in Luke chapter 3. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Adrian Dorr is a regular guest. She's managing editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine and author of an article in the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled, Is Evangelical Enough? Adrian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much.
If you were going to write a profile, so to speak, of recent converts to Rome, how would it read?
That's a good question. In this article in particular, we talk about the millennials, that generation of young folks. And right now, they're the main demographic that are finding Roman Catholicism particularly appealing. And so when they leave their young evangelical faith life and head over towards Roman Catholicism, I think that it's very much their search for honesty. For all their generation's superficiality, they want something that's honest and that's true. So you hear them use the word legit all the time. You know, it's a kind of a buzzword. He's legit, that's legit. That's what they want. For all their navel-gazing, they really are interested in learning what's true. And so they're sort of categorically opposed in a real sense to what they've seen in other generations, particularly to their parents' generation and the sort of fluffy theology their parents have given into. They've seen their parents subsist on talk of self-esteem and feelings and doing what's right in the moment, and they don't want that. These young people, obviously, it's a very hard pattern to break from what their parents have done, to be sure, because feelings and emotions are always going to be a faster, easier way to deal with things. But these young folks are rejecting that, and they're looking for something more and something true, and they want a better way. And they find that in Catholicism, in part, I believe, because it's the biggest and it's the loudest. The Roman Catholic Church has a lot of money. It has a lot of face time. And so, in a way, millennials are drawn to that simply because it's the biggest and it's the loudest. But beyond that, I think they're drawn to Catholicism because it has a historicity and a legitimacy and a reverence that they aren't finding in their own evangelical churches. I've read a couple of articles recently. You see this in France. The youth are flocking to churches there because they are looking for the complete opposite of what their parents' generation has to offer. So they're looking for order. They've got a world full of chaos. They want order. They want deep and meaningful dialogue. They don't want the pat answers the world gives. They're asking that question, what is truth? And the evangelical church is sort of throwing up its hands and saying, well, gosh, we don't know. So those are the kind of, at least young folks, that are searching for something, and perhaps because of the Roman Catholic Church's position, that's where those folks are finding those answers.
I want to focus on one of the things you mentioned there, and in your article you talk about it as a frustration with a lack of a past. How has Protestant evangelicalism dealt with the past as opposed to what is attracting here, the historicity of Roman Catholicism?
Mm-hmm. I think when it comes down to it, the fact that a lot of evangelical churches have failed to understand that in giving in and in selling out, in a real sense, to the culture, they've lost what makes them unique, which is to say that when you feel a certain sense of pressure to be and to do what the rest of the world is being and doing, you lose your past. You lose that which defines you and that which makes you you. And so when you start to look around and you are sounding like the rest of the world, you've actually made yourself irrelevant, because the young person in the pew who wants answers is going to look at that and say, well, why should I go to church and eat pizza and play games when I can go to Applebee's with my friends and do it instead? Or why should I go to church and listen to this band when I can go to a concert downtown with my friends? So the church that gives up its past, that gives up what makes it the church, and starts to look and sound instead like the culture, that church has become irrelevant. The church can't out-culture the culture. The culture will always be better at it than us. So that's the danger in giving up your past, is that you've made yourself irrelevant, and then the young person who's searching can look right on past you to something completely different or, in their mind, better.
Is that why Catholic apologists have been able to capitalize? I think just in terms of, I mean, I wouldn't accuse the Roman Catholic Church of marketing because they really try to avoid it. But when they do, wow, are they good at it. Is that why the Catholic apologists have been able to capitalize on this concept as of Rome as home?
I think so. I think one of the things that they have going for them in that sense is that they have a very well-educated laity. They have folks who are finding a lack of substance in the evangelical church, and so when they come to Rome, they glom onto it because it is a treasure that they have been looking for, and they finally found it, and they are so interested and so glad to have that depth and that meaning and that sense of history again that they learn all that they can. And so I think it's a good lesson for us as Lutherans to take that into account. I think other denominations are kind of waiting to see if or when we're going to give up our medieval theology and become relevant. And we as the LCMS instead say, let's beef up our seminaries. Let's train and form theologically astute, you know, well-rounded, thinking, speaking Lutheran pastors who can defend the faith. Let's train our lay people who can dive more deeply into our church's reading, who can do more studying, who can listen to issues. We as the church would do well, in a sense, to follow that, because we don't ever want to be just satisfied with saying, well, that's what the church says. In a sense, the Catholics do that, and for us, that's not enough. It's not just what our church has said, it's what Christ has said. And so when we dive in and we study And when he is our authority, the source and the norm of all that we say and we do and believe, I tend to think, then we too become a bit unstoppable in that sense.
Now, most of the time, and this is my casual observation, but it's based upon more considered observations of people who pay far closer attention than I do, it is from evangelicalism to Rome, and there are many both anecdotal and famous examples of that. But sometimes, and that's to say they jump over the Reformation and go straight back to Rome. But sometimes the Reformation is a stepping stone for these former evangelicals. Talk about those.
That's correct. I talked to one gentleman in writing this article who was a Roman Catholic and then said, well, if the New Testament is true, then the Old Testament must be true. And so he converted to Orthodox Judaism for a while and then eventually came to Lutheranism. And one of the things that I think he's found as he's taken that path is that when we as Lutherans boldly proclaim Christ, when we speak out and we speak up about what makes us different and about what sets us apart, the world begins to see we have something to offer that the other churches don't have. And one of the things we have to offer, in a sense, is actually something less. And what this gentleman meant by saying that is that when you are in the Roman Catholic Church or you are in an evangelical church, you may have the sacraments, you may have the gospel, but you have all of these other additions and these add-ons in an attempt to kind of beef up what Christ has already given you. And so coming to Lutheranism, in a sense, is a hard thing because it's a stripping away of all of the sort of unnecessary nonsense that Christ hasn't given and that is actually distracting from the gospel. And so if they eventually get to Lutheranism, they see in it that there are not all of these other buffet of beliefs that you add on to the gospel, but in Lutheranism, you simply get Christ on the cross, dying and rising and forgiving and loving and comforting you with no additions, no corrections.
Adrian Dore is our guest. We're talking about the appeal of Roman Catholicism. When we come back, we'll talk about Scripture, creeds, and worship. Stay tuned.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Thank you.
The Palmore Episcopal Church Choir with the Epiphany hymn, Alleluia, Song of Gladness, playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. LutheranPublicRadio.org is sacred music for the world. It's 24/7. It runs all year, but it runs according to the course of the church year. That's why you're hearing that Epiphany theme running through the music at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's there for you anytime. Sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're talking about the appeal of Roman Catholicism. Adrian Dorr is our guest. Adrian, near the end of your article, you boil it down to kind of a trinity of things that young evangelicals are looking for, even though they may not know that they're looking for it. And you boil it down to scripture, creeds, and worship. Let's take them one at a time, beginning with scripture. Why is it that these young evangelicals are looking for the authority of scripture rather than simply the authority of Rome?
One of the gentleman I talked to said one of the things that can be really frustrating about being a Protestant, and especially an evangelical, is that the evangelical movement doesn't really give you a place to end your conversation. So the Roman Catholic can say, well, this is what the church says. But the evangelical doesn't really have that. And so in a Lutheranism, he'll be able to say, well, this is what Scripture says. This is what Christ says. If he becomes a Roman Catholic, he'll be able to say, this is what the church says. But whichever direction he takes, that frustration goes away because he has a way, at least, to end the dialogue, to end the conversation.
How about creeds as something that the millennials are looking for?
Absolutely. One of the things that I talked to one of these gentlemen about is the fact that they're looking for something authentic. They're looking for a historical connection to the church of their fathers and their forefathers. And in the evangelical church, where there is no creed, where everyone simply sorts to, you know, gets to make up what they want to believe themselves, they feel that loss. They feel that lack of connection to the church, and they desire that. They want something more than simply, this is my individualized belief and your individualized belief, but they want that sense of community and connection to the people that they're worshiping with. And they're finding that in a creed that's been handed down for thousands of years.
With regard to worship, I mean, it's common that the conventional wisdom, Adrian, is that evangelicalism is, if not the only show in town, it's definitely the best show in town. What are millennials discovering to the contrary?
One of the articles that I read in doing some research basically says the exact opposite of that. It says that young people are looking for the smells and the bells. They're looking for something authentic. They're looking for liturgical aspects to worship. They're looking for ritual in worship and symbolism, even a more frequent celebration of the Lord's Supper. They may not understand it completely, but they like the idea of it. So even in that sense, in the fact that they want to participate in that worship, everything that I'm reading says the young people actually want the opposite of what the evangelical church has to offer in the sense of a lack of a liturgy, a lack of participation.
Give us kind of an overview of how Catholic apologists are quite aware of this trend and are capitalizing on the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I discuss in this article is that they've gotten themselves a nickname, which is Rambo Catholics, because they take over chat rooms, and they take over websites, and they start chat rooms, all in an attempt to start a dialogue with essentially anyone who will listen. And in a sense, it's sort of brilliant, because they know very well that of which they're speaking. And so for young folks who are eager to have that dialogue, there's instantaneously someone who will have an answer for them. The young folks, I think, of the church are intensely focused on determining the truth. I spent part of this week at an LCMS campus ministry conference, and the young people there, the college students there, have a desire to know and to learn and to ask questions. And they are insightful and they are interested. And so when you have a group of Roman Catholic folks who have the time and the knowledge and the expertise, it's kind of a perfect storm. Young folks who want to know and Roman Catholics eager to share that with them. And there's something to be said here for our churches of the Reformation that it's time for us in a very real way to step up and to boldly proclaim Christ and to speak out about what makes us different. I think that it's not enough for us to just be satisfied with saying, well, we're the church and here we are. But we have a real chance to be very bold in our confession. We are relevant. We have young people who are listening and young people who are anxious to learn. And it's part of who we are as Lutherans, simply to proclaim Christ. It is all His work. It is all His doing. But it is a good time for us not to be afraid to be Lutheran.
So it sounds like what you're saying is the Catholic apologists have discovered that the greatest strength they have in the public square where these conversations are taking place is to be unapologetically Roman Catholic. Maybe the Lutherans should start doing the same thing.
Absolutely. It's what makes us unique, and it really, in a sense, gives us a leg up because we've got something to offer that the rest of the world doesn't, and that's nothing for us to be ashamed of.
Here's my concern. And that is because if we were just having a conversation between the two of us about kind of this sociological phenomenon, and it certainly is, of this generation, the millennials, to seek authenticity, to seek history, to seek the things that their parents rejected, that's all very interesting. But my concern is that it is merely or nothing more than mere generational preference. I'm concerned that we say, hey, we know what you like, so we're going to offer what you like and what you prefer, as opposed to we know what's true, and whether you like it or not, we're still here. Right. What are your thoughts?
That is the beauty of being Lutheran. It may well, in a sense, be generational that they are interested, but the beauty of being Lutheran is that what we've been proclaiming, which is Christ crucified, hasn't changed throughout the generations. So maybe this one has come back around to a desire of wanting to know more about it, but the church hasn't changed, and that's part of what gives us, in a sense, exactly what they're looking for. They're looking for someone who hasn't changed, and we haven't. And I think that's to our great blessing.
So if you were in this conversation, how would you present confessional Lutheranism as both, in the best sense of both terms, evangelical and Catholic?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in a sense we've got everything. We are what the church is. We've got our scripture. We've got our creeds. We've got our worship. We've got a confession that we have held to for thousands of years. And all of that is centered on and by Christ on the cross. And so that's never going to be irrelevant. Christ on the cross is generational no matter what those young folks are looking for. That's what we have to offer them, what we've always had to offer them, and as long as the Lord sees fit, what our Orthodox faith will always be able to offer them.
So this isn't about watching the trends of the marketplace of ideas and tailoring our message to fit it. This is about being who we've always been.
Correct.
Before we let you go, Adrian, tell us about the latest issue, the February edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine.
Absolutely. Speaking to this very issue of millennials, we're going to do an entire issue of the Lutheran Witness specifically for the youth of the church. A lot of times I think that the young people are forgotten in the midst of our discussions of married folks and children and jobs and all these sorts of things. Forgotten are the young people. And so we're going to do an entire issue of the Lutheran Witness to them, written by them, written for them, all focused on issues that they face, both theological and social, things that they're going through in college. We'll discuss that, things they're going through in high school, and what all of that means and how they respond to that as a Lutheran. So it may be a bit of a departure from what our readers are used to, but it's my hope that not only will the young people read this and be edified by it, but that our pastors and parents and Sunday school teachers we'll be able to use this as a resource to start those very profound discussions with the young people that are in their care.
I got to ask you a question before we let you go. A recent edition of the Lutheran Witness garnered some disagreeing responses. Do you see that as a good thing or a bad thing?
I see that as a good thing. I think that any time that we have honest dialogue in the church, that can't be unhelpful. I know that those discussions can sometimes be hard to have, but I would personally rather the church be having them and understand where both sides are coming from than to pretend that the confusion doesn't exist. So to me, I will always welcome letters to the editor and responses and feedback, because there's no way that we can know what we need to discuss and how we need to move forward if we don't know what we're dealing with right now.
Folks, you can find out more about the Lutheran Witness magazine at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can subscribe to the Lutheran Witness by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Adrian Doerr is managing editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine and author of an article for the latest Modern Reformation magazine titled, Is Evangelical Enough? Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you.
When we come back, this is this probably one of the saddest anniversaries. It's approaching here into the end of the month. 40 solid years, four decades of uninterrupted legalized abortion. Anytime, for any reason, a woman can have an abortion. A girl can have an abortion in the United States since Roe v. Wade. And we want a pastoral perspective. We'll get that with Dr. Peter Scare. He says we have to realize that we've become comfortable with the culture of death, and at this 40th anniversary, we need to step back and count our losses. We'll find out what he means right after this.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit trinitybayridge.org.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 5 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2013. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.